We've assembled a round table. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns. Doug Deacon, also from the Browns Radio Network. Well, a little different feeling than we had when we last got together. And look, a loss would feel lousy no matter what. But this one, I think, does carry more weight because of the, Jim, the higher level of expectation that preceded it. And I think a real sense that this team was on a roll. And I think people were fully thinking today it would have been four wins in a row.
I think so, and I think the way the game started, I think that they were on that track, too, that things were going the way they wanted it to. They got up, you know, 7-0, great play defensively, got the turnover, put it into the end zone. So you're off to a good start. I think the game swung, in my feeling, when Cousins hit the big pass to Hankerson. I thought it really got him going. It settled him in. And I think at that point in time, the Browns all of a sudden realized that there was nothing that they were comfortable with offensively, and specifically Brandon Whedon. And it was kind of like they were reaching for something that was going to work for them. And like the game swung, I thought, the week before for the Browns on a big play when Benjamin hit the big punt return, I think the game at least got Cousins comfortable when he hit that big touchdown pass. And then I think Washington settled in.
And when you saw that play, Doug, there were three defenders there, and it just looked like there was no way that ball would even be completed. It looked like a pick was coming.
Yeah, it looked like everybody was in pretty good position. The safeties probably weren't as deep as they needed to be. But I think going into that play, I remember looking at the computer, and I think Cousins' quarterback rating was 0.0. So
yeah, right.
I can't put a big shot in the arm when he hit a thing like that. But, I mean, they had shut down the running game the first couple series. They had everything. You know, they looked like they were going to be able to control him. And then all of a sudden, you know, he just became a different guy.
They were so effective using the bootlegs, using waggles, whatever you want to call it, and naked boots. It just seemed like they used it so often that you figured after about three times or so that maybe the Browns defense, something would happen. And I could never quite figure out why it was always working, except that maybe it was the action beforehand or the mindset of dealing with that zone block scheme. And Pat Shurmur talked about that today, that the zone block scheme in many respects is what the bootlegs are built off of. So the defense was making sure it was in position to not get gouged on some running plays, and I guess they really weren't ready to handle that. That's the best conclusion that can come with that, Jim.
Well, I mean, I give you know, Mike Shanahan and the Redskins a lot of credit. It was a beautifully executed game plan, considering the week that they went through in getting Cousins up and ready to go on the road in a huge game for them with a lot of playoff implications, many more playoff scenarios for them going into the game than the Browns going into the game. But I give them a lot of credit because you're right, Doug. They were hammering the running game, the Browns were. But it didn't stray Washington away from still showing it, you know, and that made maybe the bootleg very effective.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you don't have the running game, you don't have the play-action passes. And they've been doing it for a long time. And, you know, Shanahan went in there, 3 years ago, and he's had two 10-game losing double-digit losing seasons. So all of a sudden, this is a different football team. It's like they've grasped what he was trying to do, and I think we were witness that, be it RG3 or Cousins, they do it pretty good.
They did it extremely well. I thought it was a well-coached game all the way around for the Redskins. Talk about their defensive staff and what Jim Haslett put together that definitely had Brandon Whedon in trouble most of the day. It never seemed like he got any level of confidence or comfort. I think it had a lot to do with the way they walked their safeties up. They were doing things schematically that had him befuddled.
Yeah, those safeties were a problem. You're right, Vic. That 37, Reed Doughty was in there all day long, and he was on them. Going into the game, they were very, very down on their pass rush. It had really not produced too much. They were a little bit concerned about Kerrigan, their guy Ryan Kerrigan, who had really kind of gone into a drought. He had a better game the week before against Baltimore, but I thought he was in there all day long on the Browns. And Doug, you mentioned it, you know, that Whedon was unsettled. He was not comfortable in that pocket, specifically in the first half when it was still very, very much a game.
Well, they only got a couple sacks, but they kept buzzing the pocket. There was always somebody there that would make Whedon move so he couldn't, you know, they got him off his spot. I mean, and that's what a good defense will do. But, I mean, when they bring the safeties up, then the tackle's got to honor the inside gap. But in doing so, then Kerrigan gets the short edge on the corner. So, you know, it's darn if you do, darn if you don't. And it's an experienced thing. And I think, you know, it was tough on, probably on the offensive line, at least for Schwartz. But I don't think he got beat. But it was one of those where all of a sudden, you know, Whedon had to get rid of the ball quicker than he wanted to.
He just seemed to either wanted to wait long enough for something to develop that was never there, or force throws. You figured something bad was going to happen on most occasions when it's not developing quickly or with any sense of rhythm.
There was no rhythm. You're absolutely right about that. And those you know, those simple little slants or you know middle crossing routes that were attempted to get the ball to Gordon.
Right.
I think if they could have hit a couple of those and made them pay, you know, with Gordon getting out and getting a big chunk of yardage after that play, I mean, Little did it a couple of times, but those throws were bothered all day long. I mean, they looked like very simple throws that were sloppy. I mean, they were high, they were wide, they were on his hip, and it was something that you just kind of went, wow, that looks like a really sloppy play at times. But there was a reason for it, and, you know, they just had no rhythm all day long. And yet, I thought, coming out at halftime, 14-10. I mean, remember the week before they were up 10-7 against Kansas City and really had done nothing offensively. It was a punt return that had done it for them. But they got going.
Right.
And they didn't get going. I mean, that's when the picks came, and that really did them in.
It's the Roundtable. Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. Yours truly, Vic Carucci, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So it brings this up. That was a backward step for the rookie quarterback. I would say on the scale of his games, of his worst performances this season, and I don't think he's had a lot of awful showings, but you go to that opener against the Eagles, and then I think yesterday's game, in terms of the top two that were on the really bad side. And I do think he takes some backward steps. So in the big picture of evaluating Brandon Whedon, I wonder how much of a challenge this is now, in the sense of he's got two games left. Again, you've got new people who are also applying that level of scrutiny here, an owner in Jimmy Haslam, the CEO, Joe Banner, trying to figure out what this team has. Does it have its quarterback for the long term? Do you, Jim, have any doubts now that have crept in because of that performance?
Not really. I don't think long term I would take a look at that and say, I think we could probably, in better days, look back and say, boy, remember the clunker he had against, against the Washington Redskins and how he bounced back from that. Now, he's bounced back from rough games. I thought, like, for instance, you're right, the Philadelphia game was atrocious, but he played so much better in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And there have been some other games where maybe he's left some stuff out on the field the week before, and he's come back, you know, and he's played better the next week. So he's got two games, and they're both on the road now against Denver and against Pittsburgh, and you're definitely going to get the full load against Denver because they still have a lot to play for. But I don't look long-term and say that I'm, you know, I look back at yesterday and say definitively he's not the guy. I don't come away from that game that kind of belief.
Yeah, I think what kind of distorts it yesterday was the fact that it was Cousins' first game or first start, and then
all of
a sudden, you know, here's a fourth-round draft pick, and you're looking at him. So when you take your measuring stick out and you're looking and you're comparing, you're going, whoa, you know. Now, this week, if you use the measuring stick, there's nobody's going to compare to this guy. I mean, he's the machine.
Yeah, Peyton Manning trying to even – there isn't – you don't even go there.
Well, to build on what Doug said, it was it's a tough day, really, if you take that a step further. Yep. I mean, there's Trent Richardson, the third overall pick, and a guy that you moved up to get with 28 yards rushing, I think, 11 carries and only two in the second half. And he's competing against the guy on the other side that was a sixth-round draft choice right from his own hometown, the 173rd overall pick in Alfred Morris. So, yeah, I don't think you can draw too much from it. It was a bad day at the office. There's no question.
It was a bad day at the office for sure. If we look now at – you brought up Trent Richardson and the struggles to get anything going. I mean, he was impressive on those two touchdown runs. But, I something – doesn't work in this running game right now, where either is it hesitation on his part to the hole? Is the blocking sufficient? When you only have limited carries, as he did too, that you've got to factor that into the conversation. But even up to this game, we have not seen the explosive runner that we expect him to be. And so is it still lingering issues health-wise with his ribs? I don't know. I mean, we're still kind of
there. Was one pretty good run yesterday that he had one really good run of over 10 yards in the game. And I noticed at one point, Vic, that he, you know, he prematurely leaned down to kind of protect his side, I thought. And that was an indicator to me that, you know, normally he would have taken that right at the guy or right by the guy or make that move that he makes. But there was no move. He kind of glided in, and that's not him. And I would just say that I think we all know this without anybody coming out and showing us an X-ray, that he is playing far less than 100%. And I think the longer it goes on, you know, the more that bothers him.
Well, the thing I guess that kind of boggles the mind is he came out of the combine with 4.4 speed. We've not seen the 4.4 speed because we've never seen him on the perimeter where, you know, he can do it.
Use it, yeah.
And at some point, they've got to find a way to get him out there so he can use that where it's not all bull carries where, you know, he's carrying three or four people with him.
Right. I'm wondering if that might be July next, you know, coming up in July in training camp. You're right. I mean, that hasn't been there, but he's had two knee procedures and bad ribs.
Yeah, if we add up all that he's had to overcome in physically and mentally by missing out the time. But the other thing is, you know, maybe adapting to NFL running style where gaps close, that daylight goes away quickly for a back.
Yeah.
When you play at Alabama, the holes are a lot bigger.
No, that's a fair point, Doug. And I think that's the other adjustment is mentally kind of thinking. I mean, and you can't blame him for expecting the football world to look like it did to him in Alabama, but it isn't in the NFL.
You know, and I go back to because he's been quiet now for a month, I think, really. But I go back to the Oakland game, and there was that fourth down pass that they gave him out in the flat. And I saw the explosion there. I mean, he was wide open, but then he hit another gear, and maybe a little bit of that 4.4 speed was there. But you're right. I mean, they can't get him out there anymore. Even that little toss sweep that they, you know, did to try and get him out or 6 weeks ago, you know, it's not there right now.
Yeah, and I mean – the zone blocking part of it, I don't think he's ever really timed that up. I mean, I think he needs to get the reps, you know, in training camp like he missed.
So let's talk about mindset. During his news conference today, it was brought up to Pat Shurmur, and I brought it up earlier on the show, about the whole locker room where he says it's a if you had a different locker room, you'd worry. He thinks there's a lot of that strong mentality there. But face it, things are a lot different going into these final two games than they were going into the Washington game. There was still that outside hope of postseason. But more importantly, just being – I thought that was less important than the good role of just winning and feeling relevant going into – so that's gone now. What do you think the player mentality is carrying out to two very tough trips to Denver and Pittsburgh?
Well, I think starting yesterday, going into that game, and certainly now these last 2 weeks, these are real indicators about where they are. You know, I think that they beat Pittsburgh, and you brought this up the other day, Vic. They brought it up. They beat Pittsburgh without Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Oakland wasn't good. Kansas City had only won two games.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, they've conquered some barriers, but this was really good. This is really telling you where you are, I think, because these are really high quality teams now and big games. So I think that's how they should approach it. Where are we really?
Well, yeah. And I mean, I think everybody is under evaluation from top to bottom. And so in doing so, you know, if you like it here or you want to stay here, you know, it's how you play the last couple games. And I think, you know, Pat is right. You got the DeQuell Jacksons. You got the Phil Dawsons. You got the Sheldon Browns. You got the Joe. I mean, you got guys that are going to go out and play if you're, you know, 0-16 or you're 16 or no. They're going to play the same way.
Right.
And, you know, there are some guys usually on a team that won't. But if the majority of the team is leaders or are good people, they'll carry that minority. And I don't think there's many here.
Many in that,
the bad basket.
Well, this is only a good basket. It's Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Doug Deacon, his partner in the Browns Radio Network booth. This is the Roundtable, and we'll reconvene, guys, again.
All right. Thanks, Vic.
Thank you. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.